Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreitz.
Welcome to Integrated. This is Dr. John Kreitz. I am so glad to be with you today. Today, I want you to imagine something with me. Imagine that you were playing soccer in a park with your friends, and you were getting beaten badly. Your team was losing to the other team at the park. It wasn't even close. But then all of a sudden, a limousine pulls up and out steps Lionel Messi, considered to be one of the greatest soccer players in the world. And he wants to join your team. Well, everything changes. Everything changes immediately. He's the kind of player that not only dominates, but he makes everybody on your team much better. And of course, all the defenders have to cover him. So having Messi on your side is going to change everything in your afternoon game at the park, playing soccer with others. Well, today we want to talk about God's omnipresence, God's presence with his people. That is so much more significant than having the world's greatest soccer player join your team, to have Almighty God on the team with you. I remember reading a book called Practice the Presence of God, or maybe it was Practicing the Presence of God, by a man named Brother Lawrence. I'm pretty sure he was just the cook at a monastery. Certainly, we don't affirm everything about his theology, but just the very concept of the title of the book and what he was trying to do, to be conscientious about God's presence with him every moment of every day. David did something like that in Psalm 139. You remember those beautiful words starting in verse 7, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you." David uses extreme language there to make his point. Where can I get away from your presence? Not that he wanted to, but even if he did want to, where could he possibly accomplish that goal? Because he uses the extreme of going all the way to heaven and down to the depths of Sheol, the place of the dead. And he says, even in those extreme places, you are right there. And the point is, and you're there everywhere in between. Do you remember when King Solomon built the temple back in the Old Testament, the son of King David, who wanted to build the temple, and David gathered the material and had Solomon ready to go, and Solomon dedicated the temple with one of the longest prayers in the Old Testament. And part of his prayer included these words: "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house that I have built?" Now, we understand God's omnipresence means that God is everywhere present in his creation. He is not his creation. That's important to say. You don't want to say God is the wood on this table as well as the cloud in the sky. No, God is everywhere present with his creation, but he is distinct from his creation. But God sometimes would manifest his presence in special ways, in special places. One of those great examples is, of course, in the temple. And before that, in the tabernacle. You remember when Moses would have the tent of meeting with God in the wilderness, and God's presence would be in the Holy of Holies, in the tabernacle, where the Ark of the Covenant was. And later, when they built the temple, God's glory filled the temple so much that everybody had to leave. Everybody get out. God is here in such a significant, powerful way. Listen to these words from Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 24. Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? Absolutely. God is everywhere present, and yet God has chosen to manifest his presence in special ways, at special times, in special places. And we want to consider the significance of that. How does that affect things in your life? You don't just want to say God is with us in a generic way. No, no. God is with you today. What difference does that make? How about prayer? Can you pray? Do you have to go to a special place to pray? Sometimes, of course, my office is at a church building. I'm a pastor of a church on the south side of Atlanta, and I enjoy praying and walking at the same time. And I like to walk and pray throughout the church building. And when I'm in the main auditorium where our church gathers together, does it feel special? Absolutely. Is it special? Not really. It's just a room. God's not more present in the auditorium than he is in one of the Sunday school rooms or the hallway or outside of the church. So God's not manifesting himself in a place like the auditorium of your church. And you, if you pray there, it counts more than it counts other places. No, that's not the case. God's everywhere. He's right here with you. So you can pray right where you are. You don't get out of cell phone range. Certainly the cell services have gotten better and better, especially if you live closer to a city or the suburbs. I know that in the old days, you just would have those dead spots. Aren't you thankful that there's no dead spots when it comes to prayer? God, I'm sorry, did I lose you? You know, can you hear me now? That wouldn't be good at all. Or what about the really old days when you had those phones on your wall and they were connected with wires and you tried to call your friend? And before there was such a thing as call waiting, there was the busy signal. I bet there's a whole generation that doesn't even know what the busy signal sounds like. Aren't you thankful that when you pray to the God of heaven, you never find the busy signal? You never hear that. You don't ever hear the message, okay, God is busy. Let's put you on hold for a while until God gets with you. Oh, you are number 1,763 in line for your prayer to be answered by God. No, God is right there. He's waiting for you to look to him, to speak the words of your heart. What are the burdens of your heart today? You can talk to God right where you are because he is present with you. Another great application of the presence of God with us is our pursuit of holiness. In one of the great passages in the book of Proverbs, warning us about sexual purity, one of the motivations that Solomon gives his son is in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21, where he says, "For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. My friend, when you are considering that click on your laptop that will take you to an immoral website, and you think, well, I've got my tracks covered, nobody's around, it's dark in the house, nobody will know, nobody will discover this, you know that the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. You are right there. He knows what your finger is about to do if it clicks that link. Don't do it. That's a motivation. The fact that God is everywhere present with us motivates us to pursue holiness, to do the things that are pleasing to the Lord. Today on Integrated, we have been talking about God's omnipresence. God is everywhere present in all his creation. We're going to talk more about the ways that this applies to each and every one of our lives after the break.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. John Crotts in just a moment, as he's been diving deep into God's omnipresence today. It's an incredible truth for us to reflect on, and it reminds me of a great resource we have available right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. That would be The Attributes of God by A.W. Pink. It's a book that should be on the bookshelf of every single Christian. Pink does such an outstanding job of unpacking God's attributes like his omnipresence, his sovereignty, his holiness, in a way that's both theologically rich and practically applicable, just like Dr. Crotts is doing. Pink doesn't just want us to have head knowledge about God, but to really know him personally and live in light of who he is. You can pick it up again at fortisinstitute.org. It's The Attributes of God by A.W. Pink. And speaking of deepening your faith, have you looked into becoming a Fortis Insider yet? We're offering daily content aimed at equipping you with a biblical worldview. It's not some magical formula or solution, no quick fixes, no easy answers, but it's about living your life, wrestling with God's truth and how it applies to the issues in culture today. And you're going to get this content sent to you every single day, as long as you're a Fortis Insider. So you've got to sign up. But look, it's completely free, no strings attached. We genuinely want to see believers grow in their understanding and application of Scripture. So you can sign up right now at fortisinstitute.org. And I know what some of you are thinking. What's the catch? Well, the truth is, resources like these don't just materialize out of thin air, but that's where our gospel partners come in. Our gospel partners are folks who have caught the vision of what we're doing, and they want to see it expand. So if you've been blessed by our content and you want to play a part in helping us to reach others, would you prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? But only consider it if you're already giving to your local church and you're not strapped by some type of unmanaged debt at the moment. If those areas of your life are taken care of and in good shape, then we definitely would love for you to prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. All of the answers to all of the questions you likely have can be found right now at fortisinstitute.org. And speaking of all this new content, if you haven't heard one of our new programs, Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, then let me encourage you to go check it out. Pastor Brad has been in the trenches of marriage and family counseling for over 3 decades, and he's bringing that wealth of experience and knowledge to tackle the real issues Christian families are facing today. It's raw, it's honest, and it's grounded in Scripture. Definitely worth a listen every single week. It's Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, and you can find it right now at fortisinstitute.org. That's enough from me for the moment. Let's get back to our discussion on God's omnipresence with Dr. John Crotts. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It's more than being a knower of the truth. It has to be knowing and doing.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Crotts.
Welcome back to Integrated. Well, today we're talking about God's presence with his people. What an incredible resource that we have and that we get to enjoy. We've been considering God's omnipresence, the fact that he's everywhere present in all of his creation, and yet not the same thing as his creation. He's distinct from his creation. But then we've also been considering his special manifested presence at certain places and certain times, like, for example, the temple in the Holy of Holies. in the Old Covenant era, people would pray toward the temple because God manifested his presence there in a special way. We are so thankful in the New Covenant. This is the Holy Spirit is poured out. God is, he's everywhere with us all the time. And there is no special place for us to pray towards. We can pray wherever we are. Well, let's think about a couple of examples of God's special presence with his people throughout the history of redemption. And I want to think about Moses for a moment. You remember when God called Moses at the burning bush to go back to Pharaoh, where he had grown up in the very court of Pharaoh, and to challenge Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go. And Moses was coming up with a great list of excuses why that wasn't a good idea. And one of his excuses was that he wasn't a very good speaker. He's not eloquent at all. It says in Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, "But Moses said to the Lord, 'Oh, Lord, my God, I am not eloquent either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue.' Then the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak.'" Wow. Your mouth may not be very good, but if God is with your mouth, you are going to be just fine. And of course, God did manifest himself in such a powerful way, and through the plagues and through the pillar of fire and the cloud to lead the people out of Egypt through the wilderness those 40 years. Well, when Moses died, Joshua now was the man, and he was called by God to take the people into the promised land. And we know some of the wonderful promises that God gave to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. I think one of the most significant words that God gave to Joshua was in verse 5. "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you." Wow, you're going to be fine. Just like I was with Moses's mouth and he was able to communicate clearly to Pharaoh the message from me that I'm going to lead the people out of captivity, and Pharaoh, you were to let the people go. So in the same way, I'm going to be with you, Joshua, even as you experience massive challenges, you're going to be fine because God is with you. God is manifesting himself to you. There's a wonderful verse I was reading in just my Bible reading I came across. Of course, it's a very familiar word, but I hadn't thought about it in a while. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, it goes along with our theme today. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards him." Asa, the king, he needed to be reminded that the issue is not your military strength. The issue is not your alliances. The victory comes when God is there, when God is with you, when God is supporting you. If you have God's presence, you are undefeatable. According to his will. Of course, God has different purposes at different times, but you are going to accomplish everything God has for you. That is so significant. Well, we've talked about some applications of God's presence already when we've talked about prayer, that God is right here and you can pray wherever you are because God is there. We've also talked about the pursuit of holiness from Proverbs chapter 5, where we heard Solomon tell his son, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. And so you've got to be on guard for sexual purity. You must not give in to temptation because God is there and God is watching, and how significant that is. But we also have some special promises that God gives to us as well as we consider God's special presence with his people. I'm thinking about the Great Commission at the end of Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus came and said to them in verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Wow. Sometimes it gets intimidating to share the gospel. What if they don't like it? What if they don't like me? What if they ask me a difficult question that I don't know the answer to? How can I be an ambassador for the Lord when here I am in pagan hostile territory and the Lord is in heaven? Friend, did you catch what the promise was of God's presence? The presence of Jesus through the Holy Spirit is going to be with you as you open your mouth. You may be like Moses and say, I'm not such a good speaker. And God says, I'm going to be with your mouth. Jesus says, I'm going to be there with you. You are proclaiming the message of the King. You are helping people to see, yes, you're a sinner, but Jesus is a great Savior. He suffered and died on the cross. He rose from the dead. And if you will put your trust in him, you will be forgiven. You will be saved. You will be counted righteous because of the work of Christ. It's the greatest message in the world, and we should give it out as often as the Lord gives us opportunity, but we shouldn't chicken out because we know that the presence of the Lord is with us. That reminded me of Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 is, of course, in the middle of it, is the section about church discipline, where your brother, if he sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. And of course, he goes on to say, if he doesn't listen, take one or two others along with you. If he doesn't listen to the small group, then tell it to the church. If he doesn't listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Well, I don't know your experience, but I have had the experience of knocking on a door of somebody who did not want me to be there and telling him he needed to repent of his immorality and the way that he was treating his wife. And listen, just between you and me, I had a fellow elder on the front porch with me, but I was scared to death. I could feel my heart beating in my chest. But do you know, right after this section about church discipline comes that word in verse 19, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am among them. Oh, wow. This verse is not about a prayer meeting or something like that. This verse looks back to that semi-private meeting. The Lord is with us, even in these very difficult days and very difficult trials of confronting someone. What a wonderful thing And we know Hebrews 13:5 says to keep your life free from the love of money and be content for what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The presence of the Lord is with you today, and he's with me. Let us be bold. You know, the Bible says that we just know these things, but we need to put them into practice. So let's go and do God's word today.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Krotz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Krotz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.